This morning we have the opportunity to continue to look at our sermon series for the Advent season entitled The Mystery of Christmas. And the mystery of Christmas is that deeper part that is deeper than the celebrations, it's deeper than the presents that we give. It is really about the significance of the Christ child and the spiritual part that Christmas plays in the hearts and minds of all of us. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the mystery of hope. And last week, I spoke about the mystery of peace. If you didn't have a chance to be here for those two messages, you can go onto the website and you can hear both them and catch up. Next week, I'm going to talk about the mystery of love. But today, we want to look at the mystery of joy. What makes joy a mystery? Well, Frederick Buechner put it this way. He said, joy is a mystery because it can happen anywhere, anytime, even under the most unpromising circumstances, even in the midst of suffering with tears in its eyes. And the reason joy is mystery is because it is a deep-seated thing that happens in the hearts and the minds of God's people. We often make the mistake that we think joy is happiness. Happiness is when I get what I want. You know, when Lily makes me the best supper that I always love, or when I get that special gift, or you treat me to something that is special, and then I feel happy. But joy is something deeper. It stirs your soul. It is this deep-seated peace and quality of our life that sustains us and gives us energy. And that's what we have in the biblical story of the Christ child's birth. So you read from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and I love the way it opens up. It says, my soul is filled with joy. My soul rejoices. Now Mary realizes that God has blessed her in this deep way, but that was by no means an easy thing to bear. She felt this deep-seated joy in her spirit, in her soul, even though she had to go through some very difficult times. Joseph wanting to get rid of her, right? Divorce her. Being an unwedded mother and being pregnant. And all that that entailed in those days. Today it's not that big of a deal. We hear people getting pregnant, but back in those days, if you were pregnant and not married, it was a huge piece of shame and disgrace. She had to go through all that and the struggle, even as she went to Bethlehem and then giving birth to a child, not in a hospital, not in a high-class hotel, but in a manger. And yet, despite all that, she has this deep joy that's in her spirit and in our soul. Well, I want to ask the question, who is your person of joy? Who do you go to be uplifted in life? When you want to just be given a shot of energy and celebration and laughter and joy, who's the person that you go to? Because our world sure could use some people who are more joyful. There's lots of people in our world that seem to be burdened, that carry a heavy load, that somehow are stressed out in life, and they just don't seem to have any life and energy and joy in them. Do you know any of those people? There are all kinds of people that are bogged down and worried about what's going on in life and what's going to happen in life, and we need more people that just encounter this deep-rooted joy that can lift us, that can assure us, that can strengthen us in our living. I have a little video clip to help you realize how you can encounter more joy. It talks about how children are full of joy, right? And sometimes people go, children make Christmas. And I go because of the children or the grandchildren. And this little video talks about how we've forgotten somehow as adults how to be children. So take a look.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how did you forget? How did you forget the joy that you encountered as a child? What happens when we become adults? What makes us so overwhelmed by the burdens of life that we don't experience the joy and the celebration that God gives to us each day? And so I want to talk about the source of joy. I want to talk about two things where we can find joy. And then I want to talk about the joy that comes in the child of Bethlehem. Well, let's talk about the source of joy. Joy and the source of joy comes in the gift of life. And it's easy when little ones are born. There's lots of excitement, right? When grandchildren are born, you get all excited about it. You anticipate that child coming, and then everybody goes crazy as soon as the little one's born. And we pick up the little one, and we see the little fingers and toes. We listen to all these sounds of little babies, and we celebrate life, and we're filled with joy in new life. Each of you were one of these at one time, and people were filled with joy because of you. The question is, are they still full of joy because of you? Or they go, boy, has she ever gotten grumpy in her old age? Well, it's not only the source of life, but life itself is the gift. Life itself is the gift. The life that God has given you right now is your gift. Are you kind of like the child on Christmas morning opens up and goes, thanks, Mom and Dad, but I really wanted. Right? Are you like that? Well, thanks for today, but I would like to be 5 years younger, 10 years, 30 years younger. Are you that person that doesn't see the gift of this moment in your life and the gift of today? And God gives us every moment as a gift. And the problem is we only see the big things as gifts. But it's really to be aware and notice the little things in life that are supposed to be the extraordinary things in our living. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was sort of the pioneer that worked on how to help people come to the end of their physical life in a healthy and positive way, was once asked, what do people talk about when they're dying? And in the interview, she said, they don't talk about what they did or great things that happened. The moments that are most poignant and most important to people who are dying are the small moments where they share time with people that they have known and loved. You see, it's not the great things that happen. It's the wonderful things that happen in every moment that is the gift that God gives to you and I. And we are called to encounter and realize that right now is the gift that God has given you at this moment and today. The next thing is, source of joy comes with our awareness of God, to realize that God is the source of life and the source of our joy. It says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? It's not my joy. It's the joy of God that becomes the strength for me. And in the first book of Genesis, we see the story of God creating the world, and then God creating human beings, and then God breathes life into us. And there is inside of us this divine spark, this presence that we are called to cultivate so that we encounter this incredible joy and the awareness that we're not alone. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what's taking place. That we're not alone. And the birth of the Christ child tells that story. Jesus came into the world not when everything was great. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse, it says, the people of who walk in darkness have seen a great light. In the land of darkness, a light will shine. At the time of the birth of the Christ child, the people of Israel were at a very difficult, defeated place. They were experiencing the oppression of the Roman Empire. And it is into that situation that all of a sudden the Christ child is born as a source of hope and a source of peace and a source of joy to remind people of the possibilities that are yet to come. So the source of our joy comes from outside us, yet within us, and it's meant to bring energy into our living. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the joy of faith. Faith has a huge component to play in our life when it comes to joy and bringing that energy to live like Christ each day of our life. The first thing to be aware of is that presence of Christ. We celebrate and we live as people of faith, trusting in the living Christ, not the Christ that lived and died and was buried, but a Christ that is alive in our lives today. And we speak about the risen Christ. It's the resurrection that we celebrate. It's the resurrection that brings us a sense of energy and joy because we know that Jesus is with us in the moment in our lives today. And we are content with him. And we find joy and purpose and peace in Christ's presence in our midst right now. The second thing that faith brings from a perspective of joy is it assures us of the certainty of God's plan. God has a plan for our world. God is always working deep and behind the scenes of everything that is taking place. And the plan of God is quite clear, that the goal of all that God has started is going to end in unity and wholeness and health and oneness and love one day when Christ returns. The difficulty is we watch the news, we read the papers, and we go, you know, that's never going to happen. It hasn't happened in 1900 years. When's it going to happen? And we start doubting whether God's plan is going to be fulfilled. Even though every Sunday you come and you say, thy kingdom will come. Right? And do you believe that that kingdom is going to come? Or are you saying there's no hope for the church, there's no hope for the world? Because God didn't come, God hasn't come, and Christ will not return again. God's timing is very different than our timing. Isaiah spoke about the child that is going to come 8 centuries before it took place. But the reality is that God's promise is always fulfilled. And our goal, as James talks to the early Christians, is just to be patient, to be faithful, to do what we're called to do, to live out the life of Christ today until our joy is complete when Christ returns. And of course, for Christians, there is this gift of eternal life, this assurance that when our physical life comes to a close, that that's not the end of our living. But it's a time of shift and changing when we enter into a life that we can't possibly fathom in this place. A place where there is no suffering, no aches and pains, no sickness, no disease, no death. And we enter into that place surrounded by those who have gone before, and we enter into the actual presence of the love of God, and we'll see the Christ for ourselves. And that is the gift, that's the promise that we have been given, which becomes a source of joy for us as people of faith. But the final thing around faith is, We get joy when we develop our spiritual gifts. In each of you, God has planted gifts. And the question is, are you working on those gifts? Are you developing those gifts? Are you using those gifts? Because when we use those gifts, it brings an incredible sense of purpose and meaning in our life. It helps define us. It helps give our lives purpose. And when we develop those gifts, it enriches our experience each day, and it reminds us that we have a purpose and a place in life right now. And when you know your purpose, and you know the place and the role you play, there is an incredible sense of deep joy that comes with that, that lifts you, that encourages you, and realizes that you are a unique person that God calls into action. And that's what faith does. It brings that deep joy to sustain us and to energize us as we move into the future. And the second thing here is the joy of serving. Now, when we talk about the joy of serving, we need to begin with reality. The reality is serving is not always easy. Serving is easy when everybody responds nicely. Have you ever done something and felt appreciated, you know, and people thanked you and said, oh, that was amazing? That's an easy part of serving. But the tough part of serving is when you do something and then all you do is get criticized. All you hear is the rumors going around, right, of what has happened. Well, you just meet those grouchy, grumpy people. And those kind of situations are tough. But the way we get through those is by being aware of the deeper part of ministry. And knowing the focus of our ministry is absolutely key. One of the difficulties in the church is we've forgotten why we serve. You know, we go, well, I serve on the board. Oh, my, that's a headache. Boy, I come out of the board meeting, my head's throbbing. I give out bulletins. I get tired of handing out bulletins every week. Or I sing in the choir, and we sung this piece three times before, and we don't understand what we're doing when we're serving. See, when you're singing in the choir, you're not just singing a song. You're singing to minister to the hearts and the minds of the people who come. Do you know that? Do you realize why you go through the drudgery of Thursday night practice? Do you know why you're singing? You don't sing just simply to sing a song to make the service nice, because we always sing a song in the service. You sing because people are coming into worship with wounded hearts and wounded souls. People have come and sat in this place when life has been difficult, when life has been uncertain, when their life was coming to a close. Mary Smith used to sit right back there by that post. And lots of times she came into this room going through treatment. And life was not good. And the goal of your song was to lift her spirit and encourage her until the day she moved through the doorway of death and entered into God's presence. You see, you're in the board not just simply to make decisions. You're there to set up ministry for the present and the future. You provide coffee not just because there's something for us to eat at the end of the service, but to develop hospitality, to give an opportunity for people to grow together in unity and love. Ministry is always deeper than the physical things that you do. And when you understand the deeper meaning of our ministry, it brings a sense of joy when we serve. When we go to the One Roof Diner, you're not just serving people that are hungry. When we go to Honduras, we're not just piling bricks to make a wall. You're providing a place of safety for the children so they don't have to live in fear. And the other thing that's important to know is when we serve others, we are serving Christ himself. If you miss the fact that when you serve at Grace, or when you serve in the community, or you go to the One Roof Diner, you're not just feeding somebody who's hungry. You're feeding the Christ in them. And you and I are called to understand this deeper part of ministry. Because if you don't, you'll only last in ministry a short period of time, and then you go, I'm out of here. Let somebody else do it. But if you understand what you're doing has incredible spiritual significance, and that you're actually touching the living Christ when you feed those in need, it brings this deep joy of knowing that you have done well. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus told the disciples this himself. He said, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Now, this is a fascinating passage because they're brothers and sisters of who? Of Christ. When you're feeding the poor, when you're helping people in distant countries, you are feeding Christ's people. You are helping brothers and sisters of Christ. Because in each of them is the presence of Christ himself. And it's because of that that we have the opportunity to encounter this deep joy. Absolutely, there's aches and pains if you come down and put bricks on the wall. I guarantee you at the end of the day, you will have aches and pains. You will be tired. When you go to the One Roof Diner, you'll have a bad back. I guarantee it. But you will know that you have fed Christ himself in the lives of the poor and the needy. And that brings deep joy. Well, the last piece I want to share is the joy of the Christ child reminds us of a couple things. First of all, the possibilities of tomorrow. Advent is all about waiting, anticipating about what's going to unfold. That's what the Advent season's all about. The birth of the Christ child was what was going to unfold once the Christ child arrived, and how things were going to change. Things were going to be different because of the Christ child. And Jesus' whole life was about being different. The principles of compassion and love and grace and peace and joy, all of those were different principles than the principles of that time. And the birth of the Christ child speaks about the possibilities that are there for the future. And that's true of any of our lives. Doesn't matter what's going on. Even if you're diagnosed with a life-threatening illness and you are going to die from that illness, there is the hope and the possibility of the future when we enter into God's kingdom of love. The Bethlehem story talks about Emmanuel, God with us, reminds us that we're not alone, that the presence of Christ is beside you in the pew this morning. He's with you when you go home by yourself at lunch, and that you never have to fear, you never have to worry, you never have to be frightened because the presence of Christ is near, because it's Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And the third thing is, joy is to be lived in the moment. Often people will come in and say, you know, I'll be happy when? Do you know when I'll be happy when, people? I'll be happy when my marriage improves. I'll be happy when my children are not annoying all the time. I'll be happy when I get a bigger house. I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when. Do you know any of these people? I'll be happy when, people, will never be happy. And the reason is, you cannot experience joy in the future. Future is a concept. You never live in tomorrow. The only place you can ever live is where? Today. Absolutely. And so if you're not encountering joy today, it is not going to get better when you get a house in Florida. It is not going to get better when you have a Caribbean cruise. It is not going to get better when the children behave or when you win the lottery or whatever your I'll be happy when is. Because the only place you encounter joy and happiness is in the moment, right now, right here in this place. And when you understand that we live life in the moment, and in the moment is filled with the blessings of God, in the moment is the place where I encounter the joy that comes from the Christ child, this deep-seated peace in me that encourages and strengthens me. When you understand that, then the joy in your life is going to increase. And the last thing is, because of the Christ child and his birth, it reminds us that the future is secure, that our world is in God's hand, that your life is in God's hand. It doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to get sick or maybe get a diagnosis. All that's within the realm of possibility. But it means you don't have to fear any of this, because your future as a Christian person is safe in God's hand. And your ultimate destination is not in this world, but in the world that is yet to come. Either the moment you walk through the doorway of death or the moment that Christ returns. And so the question this morning is, how are you doing with respect to the joy of the Christ child? On a scale of 1 to 10, 0 being no joy at all, 10 being you're overjoyed, where are you? And then when you pick the number, let's see it on your face. Let's see it in your interaction with the people this week. Let's see it in the practical day-to-day aspect of your living as a person who knows they're not alone, a person who knows that there's this deep joy in the depth of our spirit that is available to us only because the Christ child came. And this year, once again, we celebrate his birth and the deep joy that comes to us. May that be your experience today and all the way through the rest of the Advent season.